Accession number 30623, reel 12.
Accession number 30623, Mr. Terry O'Leary, reel 12. Now, what was the camp like at Fanling?
It was okay. I was in the sergeant's mess. We had a sergeant's mess there.
Well, tell me about that, the sergeant's mess. We've not discussed that. It's the first time you're really in one to mention
yeah,
the unit.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was like a... you had your own quarters, of course. The sergeants had their own quarters. All our dobeying was done by a washing. Was done. We had a washing laundry there run by a Chinese man, O.Y. Lam was his name, and he used to do the washing for all the sergeants and anybody who wanted to pay to have their washing done. You would get chaps come from up from Kowloon, Indians mostly, who would try and flog your suits. And I had a sports jacket made and the best jacket I've ever had made. It was a perfect fit, and really, because you could off duty wear civilian clothes.
Back to the mess. Was it a hard drinking mess?
Oh yes,
some of them are. Some of them are.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, the Irish like their the Irish regiments like their.
Did you join in?
Oh yes. Yeah.
So how much would they drink? I mean, you know.
I don't know. You'd have a. You see what you. You would have, like, not a party as such, but everybody had their own, what I would call, party piece. And although people had heard it time and time again, you would be called upon to do, after the drink had flowed and you were sort of getting merry, to do your party piece. I would sing this French Jatendre and... a Greek song that I learnt, not that any of them could understand it, but passed the time. One bloke, I remember a company sergeant major used to do something about the cowboy, some cowboy thing, where it says, the lights went out, a shot rang out, and Dangerous Dan McGrew, that was it. It went on for... And he knew it backwards, and he used to do it every time. And when it said the lights went out, someone would switch the mess lights out. And when it said a shot rang out, everybody would bang on the table. It was a light relief, I suppose you would call it. But
did people get bad hangovers?
No, I can't recall ready for parade the next morning. I mean, that was more than you dared do. You had to be.
Mate, you were back with D Company, were you? Or
no, I was back with A Company then.
Yeah. So what happens next then? If you see what I mean, what are your duties like there? Let's go through that one.
Yeah.
I mean, what were you doing?
I did the patrols. Where you did a standard patrol overlooking the Chinese border. We had.
Now, what was that like?
I used to take a section of about 8-10 men, a hill. And where you slept had been built by, I don't know, the Royal Engineers, I suppose, because it was a permanent thing. And a tunnel had gone through the hole, and so you had at the far side on the forward slope, overlooking China, was a long slit. And you used to go in there and report. What I call silly things. I mean, trains going up from Kowloon to where did they go? Kowloon to
doesn't matter.
I'll think of it. And right in front of us was a radio station, Chinese Army radio station, because they used to come up on they had a flat roof, and in the morning you would see them come up, and all this had to be logged. You had to make a log of everything that you saw. And because it was a bit repetitive, they would come up and do this exercise that you see now doing
Tai Chi or whatever.
And they knew you were there because they would wave to you. Like,
so you weren't actually patrolling; you were occupying an OP observation.
That's place. Right. Yeah.
Did you do patrols as well?
There was one patrol they did, and I don't know why it was so. What's it? They were people used to run rubber from either from Kowloon to China or vice versa. We never caught anybody, but
so what were those patrols like? Those were patrols, did you go on?
At night, yeah, I did. But you would just lay in ambush waiting for these blokes to pass, but no, we never passed where we were. But that was what I was told. The object of the exercise was that they were running rubber, I suppose tyres that they cut up, I don't know, or what they wanted them for, but that was all I can remember about those.
Anything else? Yeah,
we used to. Obviously, we did exercises.
What were they like?
Well, we had the we had mules. We muleteers. The Gurkhas were there. We did exercises with them, but not live firing, but sections in the attack and all this sort of thing. You know, just really like. I don't know what you call it.
Tactical exercise.
Yeah, tactical exercise, yeah.
Anything else about your time?
I used to go over to Hong Kong by ferry. Not often, but I did do it once.
What was that like?
That was okay. And a free tanner, picking up ammunition and bringing it back to Hong Kong to replenish or replace stuff that had been there for a while. And you did that once. Most of the time, you'd be in the mess or wandering around the village of Fanling. You know, nothing exciting, nothing to do. And
so, how long were you there for?
12 months. Not quite 12 months. About 10 months.
So, when did you come home? September 52.
Yeah. When it might have been August, because I think I was demobilised. Oh, I think I was demobilised in October. Was I? Yeah.
So, what was the trip home like? Came with a battalion, or was it
just there was a battalion. I think it was the Lancastrians were going home on the boat, and but there was just myself, one of our, well, actually my platoon officer, he was going back, and a couple of riflemen that, you know, a bit untoward, not a lot to do, just, of course we were...
You don't know what ship you're on.
It would be an Empire boat. They were all blooming Empire boats out there. These were boats that were seconded from the Germans after the war.
So, and just another long voyage for you.
Yeah, except that I was in the sergeant's, which was a little bit, we had a bunk. It was a bit more salubrious than being down below. I recall that one of the stewards, just a bit light-hearted, was very effeminate and... his name was Amber, he was a laugh, you know, nothing sexual, but just a laugh, you know, he was very effeminate and used to make wisecracks and in actual fact told me that, well not me, but told everybody, he bought a photograph that he was in a show called Soldiers in Skirts, and he had a photograph to prove it, dressed up in a nice gown, you know, and dressed up as a female, when you used to call Amber, he would say, "Did you say Timber?" And things, you know, silly things like this.
He's what they call camp now.
Yeah, he was camp, yeah.
And what about, anything happened on the trip?
No, nothing untoward.
Which way did you go?
Well, the same way as we went, I went through, Red Sea, you know.
Did you get ashore at all anywhere?
I got ashore in Singapore because I remember the New World, which was a fun fair place. Whether it's still there, I don't know, but it was a big fun fair place in Singapore. But I can't. We certainly never went ashore. Oh, there was wrens on board. I know coming back, we picked them up somewhere. I don't know where we picked them up from. And
now, what about your demob when you got back? Were you demobbed straight away? It looks like you were.
Yeah, I was. I went back to, I came back to Southampton, my wife and sister, and my son was born in May 1950, because I left, as I say, October 49, my son was born in May 1950, and they brought him down, because I hadn't seen him, he was born while I was away, And
that must have been strange for you.
It was, yeah, it was. And I missed all his growing up anyway. But then they went back by train, and I was then, I can't recall when I was held in Southampton. I think I must have been for 48 hours, but I can't recall it. But I was then given a rail and pass to get back to Ballymena to be demobilised or to be leave the army. But on my way back...
Was this the same? This is October. Is it the same as last time? You know, was it much the same as the Navy demob?
Yes, it was, yeah. Except that I called in here because my wife had lived here then. She'd got to be overcrowded with the babe, with the boy.
That's in Debden.
So here in Debden, she came on her own. Well, my mother brought her over, but she was living here till I came back out of the army on her own with the boy, and he would be about two and a bit then. And I know I came in the door and gave my wife a kiss, and he kicked me on the ankle. I remember that well. Yeah, he didn't take kindly to me because he had been like the little man of the house, I suppose, and to have another man coming in, and he didn't go much on that. But since then we've been like brothers.
So you demobbed, and now what were you going to do in civilian? We only just get you back into civilian life, and we'll talk about the association. Yeah. So what did you do what were you going to do?
Well, I didn't have a clue. They say that there's all these places where they gave training. No one ever told me about them. No one ever told me about them. So I got local jobs here. I got a light engineering job, again as what I did at the beginning of my youth on a horizontal lathe in an engineering firm at Loughton. Then a friend of mine said, there's job going, because I didn't like it anyway, but he said there's a job going in a steelworks, and I went to work at a steelworks. That was even worse because it was open and very cold, both doors open each end, and they used to manufacture great big oval steel like drums, you know, and the cacophony of these riveting guns. And
so when did you settle down to a job?
Well, my wife had a job working for someone whose husband worked at the Bank of England Printing Works, and she said, well, you know, he could perhaps he could get a job in the printing works. So I never gave it a thought personally. Anyway, this chap arranged an interview for me down there, and I went down, and they, like you, listened to my service history, and I was in, you know.
As a printer?
No, as an assistant, which was the lowest form. You couldn't, you know, you had to do a course to be a printer.
So that was your career in printing?
Printing assistant, yeah. Printer's assistant. Which
you never got any more than that then?
Oh, I did, yeah, I did. I worked in the boiler house doing... working with the heat and ventilating engineer, taking readings and doing various sums that he gave me to do with air movement down, you know, channels.
What I'm trying to get from you is, did you work in the printing industry for the rest of your time?
I did.
Yeah. Did you have any trouble acclimatising to the civilian life? Because you've been in the services a long time.
I didn't know, because a lot of the chaps down the printing works were either ex-Navy or ex-Army. They seemed to take on a lot of... I'm not talking about the printers, I'm talking about assistants. And I got a job as...
So you settled down well with... You didn't have any trouble sort of with the monotony?
No. The only thing was that it was very high security. And we were producing nothing but banknotes, British banknotes, pounds, fivers, tenners, twenties, fifties ultimately. And the only thing was that you couldn't get out, you know.
Now, tell me, are you in your regimental association? I think you are. Tell us about that, why it's important to you.
Well, I'm in quite a few. I joined the regimental association some time after, I might add, when I heard about it. And... then I started, got telephone numbers, and I phoned up and I spoke to first one who I speak to now was the company quartermaster sergeant, who then got commissioned, became a major, And Kano, we knew him as colour sergeant, and Kane knew him as well at the same time as I did. And he still phones, and I phone him regularly. He lives down.
Do you go to their reunions? What do they do? As
no, most of their reunions are over in Northern Ireland. Of course, people are dying now, and the regiment has been re-badged. It became the Royal Ulster Rifles. Then they joined it up with the Inniskillings and the Fusiliers. That became the Royal Irish.
Doesn't matter.
No, and then that was rebadged again, and now it's the.
So what does it do? The Association for you? Is it just a matter of contacts and?
Yeah, just contacts.
Is there a magazine? Or?
There was. There's not now. No.
And are you in anything else?
Yeah, I'm in the Royal Naval Association, a local branch.
And what's that? What does that do?
Oh, we meet the first Monday of every, the first Wednesday of every month, and have a social on the third Wednesday of every month, locally. Then we go to various places like
doesn't matter
church on the, for the Nelson's Battle of Trafalgar. They hold a church service, and we go to that. Then I'm in the Royal British Legion, which I don't attend. I must confess, pay me dues, but I don't go because it's be too much. I'm in the Combined Irish Regiments, of which I'm very proud, and I didn't hear about that until about 12 years ago, where all the Irish regiments, irrespective of whether they were infantry or anyone who was in an Irish regiment, they've got this big association. We had, and every June, on the day prior to the Trooping of the Colour, on the Saturday, on the Sunday following the Trooping of the Colour, we have a big parade at the Cenotaph, and we get about 400 on parade with bands, pipe bands of the London Irish, and the other year was the.
I believe you ought to read
If I may, yeah.
What is it? Just explain what it is first.
This is the certificate. A troop copy from the Certificate of Service, the final assessment of conduct and character to be completed by the commanding officer, and it gives my name, rank, and then it says military conduct exemplary, testimonial to be completed with a view to civil employment. Sergeant O'Leary was a first-class NCO. He is completely reliable and extremely loyal. His intelligence and capacity for organisation are well above average. He has some knowledge of clerical work, but is essentially a leader. I recommend him most highly.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I like that, yeah.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome, sir.